The good news is that he kicked the door off the grave, that he hands the keys to death and hell. The good news is that alcoholics can break the chains and go free. Homes and families back together, loving one another. And people without hope, they have hope. And if you can't sing about that, you're really twisted. If you can't get excited about that, you're a little bit warped. Don't tell me you can go to a football game and act like this, and you can't shout in the house of God. Don't tell me you can go to March Madness and follow basketball and get all emotionally involved, and you can't shout in the house of God. I don't mind your excitement about anything else, but when you come to the house of God, you ought to really be excited. Because in 100 years, the rest of that's going to be dust and ashes and memories. And this is going to go on and on and on. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. We are so thrilled and delighted to have Brother and Sister Ellis and their children and some of their church family with us tonight. And haven't they ministered to us Saturday evening and this morning? Hadn't it been awesome in the house? Singing and the praise and the preaching of the word. These are good friends. And it's awesome to have good friends in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God. I appreciate the wonderful work Brother Ellis is doing. He's raising up a mighty church in Clarksville. He's trying to export revival everywhere he's able. He's building people in the kingdom of God. They're about ready to break ground and pour a slab and build a building. And I want you to pray with them. They need it. They need to build a building. They can't move in that house. They're so packed in there. I tell you what it looks like. It looks like third world worship. That's not bad. That's good. Where people don't care if they've got a lot of room around them. They just say, let me in. What's happening in this house is so good. I want to be a part of it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We want to honor Sister Ellis tonight. Wonderful lady in the kingdom, great sister in the Lord, and behind every man of any measure at all is always going to be a good woman. And she's kicked him all along the way. Is that right? Their testimony is awesome. You need to get the tape. They found truth snowed in Germany while doing a hitch in the military in Germany. Came home and began to build an awesome church there. Got it going a little bit, and then he got sent off to Turkey. Did you go by yourself or did you take your wife with you? You went by yourself. And Sister Ellis stayed home to try to make it work. And then he came home and tried to build it back up. And he got sent to the Gulf War. And she stayed home. And that was exciting times. But she doesn't want to go back there. That's right. But what you're looking in a fairly small frame here, you're looking at a towering oak of character and strength in the kingdom of God. Because any time she could have looked at you and said, friend, I've had enough of you, and I've had enough of these church problems, and I've had enough of you bounding off across the country, and I'm tired of raising these kids by myself, and I'll just take them and raise them. She could have said any number of things. But the glory and the power and the anointing that's flowing in that house is flowing right now because some people stood and said, We'll stand in the hard times. And we'll stand during the difficult times. And I just admire them and I appreciate them. And their testimony is phenomenal. They've raised up a wonderful household of kids. And everybody in the church calls him Pops or Dad. So the whole house is his family. Do you have to buy them all lunch? Brother Ellis, I want you to come. I want you to take your liberty. And if y'all want to sing more, sing. We're happy. We're just happy to be here. You want to preach to us, preach. Whatever you want to do to us. If you want to treat us like you're a drill sergeant, do it. We don't know how to do that, but we'll try. But I love this guy. Wonderful, wonderful brother in the kingdom of God. Take your liberty tonight.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Come on, let's clap them real good for Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. You may be seated for just a moment. Before I say anything more, I've asked my kids to sing one more song. I felt pressed to do this tonight. I know it's a little slower than what we've been doing tonight, but in the year 2003, my mother passed away with cancer, and there were two songs we wrote for her. The first song my daughter wrote was when she first got diagnosed with cancer. She was going through a real tough time trying to figure out how life could change so suddenly. Have you ever been in a situation where things just seem to suddenly change and they come on to you out of nowhere? And those are moments when you question how God could let things like this happen to you. Has anybody ever thought those kind of thoughts? 2, 3, 4 people, praise God. And when you go through those changes in life, you wonder if it's for you or did God allow this for some other reason? But I'm here to tell you that God is a God that keeps his promises. And no matter what changes you go through in life, God never changes. And those changes come on us for a reason. They come for a reason, but God never breaks a promise, and he's always the same. Do you believe God's always the same? It just takes that kind of faith to believe God is the same. Brother Sutton was sharing just a little about what was going on in our life, and I thank God for my wife. Because not only did she stand to keep the church going while I was gone, you got to take into consideration things that were happening throughout that time. I remember this is when we fed people and clothed people, and we were struggling, and people had Thanksgiving meals and never invited her to dinner, but she kept loving them. They rebelled and they treated her bad, and she kept loving them. And a strong heart, because even though people change, she knows God doesn't change. Hallelujah. And we want to sing a song to you today, with you today, called Forever. Forever You Are God.
Forever You Are God. Most Holy One, and almost most worthy one, forever you are the same. enter into spring. Hallelujah. The fragrance of the flower. Just listen. To all the birds they sing. But you know what? When all of this is gone, and you see everything is changing, and everything is changing, hey, ooh, hey, my God, He'll never change. Your holy name
forever,
forever you are holy, and every day the same, the same, the same.
Most holy one,
and
shake hands and tell somebody, God never changes. Shake somebody else's hand and say, He's ever the same. Praise the name of the Lord. If you'll stand to your feet tonight, we feel so privileged to be here. And that we appreciate Brother and Sister Sutton, this family, this great church family, and all that you do. There's just so many great things taking place here. And this is a wonderful, wonderful place of worship. There's just such excitement and energy that is present here. You'd have to be trying to avoid it, not to feel it. Amen. And I'm not going to run from it. I remember when I first came to the Lord and went to a church like this. Didn't know what to expect. In fact, before I came to the Lord, I went to a church like this. My wife wasn't saved, but she was a church-going lady, and I was not a church-going man. And me and church mixed about as much as oil and water. And I went to a church that had this kind of climate almost. And I sat next to a lady who jumped up and started speaking in tongues. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The devil can fool people, but it ain't always church people that he can fool. I thought she had lost her mind. I realized I was right. She had lost her mind and found his. Hallelujah. I think some of us need to lose our mind and find his. Praise God. And I wished I had lost my mind a lot earlier in my life. The only regret I have about coming to God when I did is that I didn't do it soon enough. Amen. But I didn't do it too late either. Praise God. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 29. Man, it feels so good in this place. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Matthew 20 and 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed them. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. In other words, they should be quiet in church. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight. And they followed him. If you notice here, the Bible says that when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out. And when the multitude rebuked them because they appeared to be out of order, or seemed to be out of touch with the way things were supposed to be done, the Bible said they cried yet the more. They cried the more. I want to preach tonight just for a short time. I am determined to be delivered. Tell somebody, I am determined to be delivered. This is what I call desperate faith. Tell somebody, I've got desperate faith. Clap your hands unto the Lord and lift your voice and praise him right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your living truth. We love you. We praise you. We worship and adore you. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voice and praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Desperate faith. You may be seated. Amen. You don't have to look far around you to see that we have a world full of desperate people. Hundreds of thousands of people killed in the tsunami. The desperate families living constant torment and fear because of types of things that are happening. Can you imagine the anguish and the pain the parents of that young child that was just found, whose body was just found murdered by some old perverted man who probably should have never been set free. You look around and you see all of the kinds of things that are happening in our world. Suicide and personal destruction. We are living in a world filled with desperate people. People are hurting because of emptiness and loneliness and disease and accidents. People are facing so many complex problems. I have a ring here. Maybe it should be turned down in this here. Now, the monitor's controlled here with this here. Okay. And people are facing so many complex problems and difficulties. They just don't know how to handle them. There's so many people trapped in a life of poverty and hunger and confusion. And it seems that people cannot seem to find purpose and meaning and significance in their life. So many dealing with the situations of feeling hopeless and helpless in their circumstances. These are the people who I would call the multitudes. These are the masses, the kind of people that Jesus touched every day in his life. The hurting, the bruised, and the wounded, the scarred. I would have you to know that the church is not a museum for the righteous to come in to prove how good they've done. The church is a hospital for the broken, the hurt, the maimed, and the blind. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Bible says, left Jericho. And as he was departing Jericho, they were on their way to celebrate the Passover feast. The famous Jewish historian Josephus estimated that about 2 or 3 million people attended this feast every single year. This, therefore, was an enormous crowd that must have been following Jesus at this time. Even in this case, it should have been understood that of that 3 million people, those masses, not everyone in the crowd was following for the same reason. Everybody here tonight did not come for the same reason. And therefore, many might have a different response to certain types of stimuli. But people did not follow him for the same reason, even like they do not now. Now, some followed him perhaps because they themselves had a great need and they believed somehow that Jesus could meet that specific need. And there are those who come to church because they have a particular circumstance in their life that seems to be overwhelming, and they have come to the place to where they believe that Jesus is the one that's able to meet that specific need. Can you say amen? And then there are those who follow him for simply what they can get out of him. They have heard that somehow that Jesus and the principles that he taught to some degree can bless them with material goods and physical riches. And it is their desire that they have these temporal blessings, and they know somehow through what they've heard and what they've seen and what have witnessed that certain principles that Jesus teaches and certain principles that the scriptures teaches can reward one physically. Somebody say amen. And they've come simply because they want a better life. And you say, Brother Ellison, that's not true. That if that's not true, then why do people slip away from God when life does not treat them better? If they lose their job, they leave God. If they lose their money, they leave God. If they lose their house, they leave God. I wish I had a witness here. Then there are some who thought that perhaps that Jesus was the answer to their utopian dreams. That somehow to him, he was going to bring them political fulfillment. You see, they were under the bondage of Rome, and they thought that perhaps Jesus was this coming king that was going to deliver them from the hand of the Roman oppressors. And they thought that he was the Messiah who was to free Israel from this political and military might. And they were hoping that he would deliver them in this social setting, in this social situation. And there are those who use the church strictly for their social gain, as a place to meet new friends or overcome social problems and circumstances. And all of the above, by the way, are true. Jesus do and does meet specific needs. And Jesus does provide principles that can lead you to physical prosperity. And Jesus is one who can give you some sort of comfort in your social environment. I wish I had a witness. But that's not the reason why Jesus died. Jesus didn't die to give you a better house. Jesus didn't die to give you a better car. Jesus didn't die for you to have another job. Jesus didn't die for your new business. Jesus didn't die for your marriage. He died for your sin. And if you never get a job, you still need to be delivered from the ravages of sin. If you never have another friend, You still need to be delivered from sin. And then there are those who follow Christ because they believed he was indeed the Messiah and that he and he alone had the words of eternal life. And they desired to be true disciples. But whatever the reason why people are following him, it's not really my business why you are following Christ. It's my business why I am following Christ. I'm not here to check your motives. I'm here to check myself. I get kind of tired of folk who come in the house of God sitting around trying to be a Holy Ghost CIA. Trying to find out who's really got the goods and who's for real and who's not. I don't know if I need to mess with this, but I've been around just long enough to know there are some, Pastor, who feel like they're spiritual if they can point to you of all the faults you have in your church. I told you that the church was not a museum. The church is a hospital. And walking up to the pastor with these revelations, Pastor, I believe I've got the discernment of spirit. The Lord's been speaking to me. And as I sit in the congregation, I can look around and I can see who's not right. Let me let you in on a secret. Brother Sutton's a very positive man. He probably wouldn't tell you this, so I'm going to tell it to you right now. He knows every hypocrite in this church. He knows everyone who's walked up to him and told him a bald-faced lie. So walking up to him, telling him that, is like walking up to a doctor in a hospital saying, hey, doc, I'm going to let you in on a secret. You see those rooms? Got sick people in them. I don't need your help pointing out the faults. I need your help bandaging the weak, picking up those who have fallen. Bringing healing to those who've been destroyed. Helping those who've been down. I don't need your help pointing to me all the dark spots. I need light in the corners. I need help in the trees. I'm not here to check your motives. You shouldn't be here to check anybody else's. Hallelujah. It's always good to ask yourself, why am I following Christ? Hallelujah. And I realize, you know, I didn't come to God because I wanted a better job. I didn't come to God because I wanted a better lifestyle. Maybe that's why he kept us the way he did. I came to God because I realized I was a lost sinner. I came to the revelation that I was a lost sinner. A good job wasn't going to save me. A good marriage wasn't going to save me. Good friends weren't going to save me. A better house wasn't going to save me. Keeping in style with the fashions wasn't going to save me. I wish I had somebody saying amen. Don't you know you can go to heaven in a pair of cheap Walmart shoes and go to hell with some $300 Gators? You can go to heaven living in a cracker box and go to hell in a mansion. I said, you can go to glory shopping at Goodwill and go to hell wearing K&G. It doesn't matter what you have. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have enough. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have enough. If you don't have God, you don't have enough. The scripture says, as Jesus walking out of the city, there were two blind men sitting on the side of the road. And the Bible said they heard Jesus pass by and they cried, have mercy on us. Now, I want to tell you something. You should understand. Notice something about these two men. And the Bible said they. Tell your neighbor, they. There's something you should notice about these two. Number one, they were desperate. because both of them were blind and suffering the same infirmity. Can you imagine what it's like not to be able to see the light of day or a smiling face or the description of a rose or a garment that someone has described? They were both desperate. Two, they were together. They were companions who found fellowship together in their difficulty. And they must have talked with each other and shared their story and their need. I want to tell you something about the church. When you walk in the church, don't come expecting to see perfect people. When you walk in the church, don't come expecting to see people who's got it all together. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. If you see fault in me, it's because it's really there. If you, oh, y'all not hearing me now. I said, if you see a problem in my life, it's because it's really there. But I'm not here because I've got it together. I'm here because I need deliverance like you need deliverance. I need help like you need help. Give somebody a high five. I said, I love you. But get off your soapbox. You need deliverance like I need deliverance. Why don't we just go on and admit it? We are not as strong as we pretend, not as great as we pretend, not as powerful as we pretend. We need God, and we need God together. I have to tell you, the human side of me gets a little irritated. You maybe see that. Gets a little irritated with people who have left church because of the faults they find in church. Who leave church because of the faults they see in people. And I'm going to tell you why I get irritated with them. Because they think they're better than me. You see, when you leave church because of faults you see, you think you're better than everybody else. No, I don't. No, I don't. Yes, you do. See, because the rest of us poor, dumb idiots have got to stay here and make it good enough for you to come back to. I mean, we got to stay and put up with the hypocrites. We got to stay and put up with the liars. We got to stay and put up with the gossipers. We got to stay and put up with the backbiters. Oh, yeah. Until it's good enough for you to come back to. We got to tolerate the depressed, the whining and the crying until it's good enough for you to come back to. But I want to tell you something. If that's the reason why you left, you'll never stay. Because there will always be the hurting, and there will always be those who have a problem. There will always be those who have a need. There will always be those who need to repent. There will always be those who need sanctification. There will always be those who have to grow. There will always be those who need the mercy of God. And there's a benefit with being able to share with someone who has a common experience. And I'm not talking about having a pity party together. Because some of us have pity parties. And rather than having a common need and sharing a common plan for deliverance, we just whine together. Now, let me tell you something now. You can get ruined hanging around whining people. You can get really messed up hanging around murmuring people. The Bible said to do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be harmless and blameless, the sons of God. And why does he say that? Because what you spew out of your mouth can mess up the mind of someone else. Now, have you ever heard this term called psychosomatic sicknesses? Have you ever seen that? How many know what I'm talking about? Where you're not really sick, but it's in your mind. Then once your mind convinced you that you're sick, your body begins to get sick. People go to the doctor with pain and aching and symptoms. They get an examination and can't find anything wrong with them. because the sickness, they've been convinced of a sickness in their mind. That's why the Bible said evil communication corrupts good manners. Whether you believe, and I know most of us believe we got such a strong mind. Strong mind. We got such a strong mind. That's why you buy name brand stuff, because you got a strong mind. You watch the 30-second clip of a commercial, and your mind is so strong, you had to have what's in the latest style. You rode past a billboard and bought into what they've got because your mind is so strong. You don't feel like you can fit in school if you're not keeping up with the latest fashion because you're so strong. Lord have mercy. You ain't strong as you think you are. When I'm talking about sharing, I'm talking about sharing testimony. The Bible says you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Come here. Two blind men. Come here. Two blind, just one of you. Two blind men. Come here, come here, come here. Come here, come here. Just any one of you. Just, I know you're blind. You couldn't see me. Come on. Two blind men. They heard that Jesus was on his way through town. Two blind men. And they noticed that they were together sitting next. And he just noticed somebody sitting next to him. What you doing here? I'm waiting on Jesus. Waiting on Jesus for what? I heard he was coming through. Heard he was coming through. Yeah. What you here for? I've been blind all my life, but I know I'm getting healed today. No, he wouldn't sit and holler, pray for me. I've been blind, but it seemed like don't nobody care. I ain't got nobody to help me through the streets. Seemed like don't nobody want to help me at home. I'm all by myself. No, that's not the kind of chair I'm talking about. I'm here just like you're here. Man, I've been having trouble, but I made up in my mind. I'm walking out of here delivered today. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, if you want victory, tell somebody you already got it. Jesus is coming through and he's got his miracle in his hand. He's got your deliverance in his hand. He's got the power in his hands. He's got the joy in his hand. Be seated for a moment. I'm getting ready to close. I'm getting ready to close. Give me about, yeah. Notice something else about them. They were sitting right where Christ was passing by. Some call it chance. Some call it fate. Others call it destiny. Some call it purpose. But the fact is, it doesn't matter what you call it. They were in the right place at the right time for the right one. Somebody say amen. It's like the young man at the gate called beautiful. You got to keep yourself where Jesus is supposed to be. Doesn't matter when he shows up. You just be there when he gets there. The man at the gate called beautiful was well into his age. Some, I think he was above 40 years old, the scripture says. And he had been laid at that gate every day of his life. Every day, the Bible said. Somebody brought him and laid him at the gate called beautiful. And when he was of age, he could sit there and rattle his cup. And for all of those years, people would run by and drop pennies in his cup. And one day while he was rattling his cup looking for a penny, he had no idea he was in place for a $1 million miracle. But can you imagine going to the gate of the temple every day, and never getting a healing for well over 30 years, 30 something years. Can you imagine day after day never getting your prayer answered for 30 years or more? Honey, whatever you do, don't you ever leave the altar of prayer. If you don't get it today, if you don't get it tomorrow, if you don't get it next week, you just stay in position. Because if you stay in position, you are in position for a miracle. Give somebody a high five. Say, don't move. Whatever you need to do, don't you walk away from the house of God. Stay where you need to be, because sooner or later, the hand of God will pass by. Sooner or later, the glory of God shall pass by, and your deliverance is going to come. You need to stay where Jesus is. Notice another thing. They were blind. They were in a hopeless situation. You see, the world tries to convince you that the facts are stronger than faith. Just because your situation is hopeless don't mean that it is hopeless. Y'all didn't understand what I said, did you? Just because your situation factually is hopeless don't mean that faith says it's hopeless. Because faith can do things that facts deny. Faith can take you places that the facts will deny. I wish I had a witness here. Faith says the dead can be raised, and facts say they can't. But I remember reading in the word of the Lord, Jesus went to a funeral procession and simply laid his hands on a young boy, went to a house, laid his hands on a young girl, went to a grave, spoke with his voice, and the dead were raised by faith. Faith. You may be seated. Another thing you need to pay attention to is you need to be alert and sensitive to the presence of God. Don't let your blessing pass you by. Jesus was passing by, and the Bible said when they heard, they didn't wait on proof. When they heard, he was passing by. Now they were blind. They couldn't see. They don't know no more than a hole in the ground if it really was Jesus. They didn't take no DNA sample. They didn't get no voice test. They didn't ask nobody to show, let me feel his hair and examine his sandals and get a birth certificate and read it in Braille. They were blind, but they just took a chance. You got to be sensitive when the Holy Ghost is moving. You can't sit back in your seat and wait for proof. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't sit back and wait for proof. When you hear that Jesus is moving, when somebody tell you he's in the house, reach out and get your miracle. Reach out and get your blessing. Are you desperate enough? Glory. 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 I feel the Holy Ghost here. So the Bible says when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried. Tell your neighbor, cry out loud. Don't you worry about what people have to say. Cry out loud. Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Hold it. But you got to understand, these men were desperate. Now, there were those around them that told them, you should not be acting. The Bible flat says that they rebuked them. They didn't just suggest or gently correct. They harshly scolded them. You ought to be quiet. You ought to hold your peace. That's not the way you do it here. It doesn't look civilized. It doesn't take all of that. But you don't understand. There are some people who are just religious, but they're not desperate. There are some folk who got the tradition down to a fine art, but they are not desperate. Because when you get desperate, it doesn't matter what your critics say. When you get desperate, it doesn't matter what people do. When you get desperate. When you get desperate, it don't matter to anybody. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It don't matter. You don't try to look cute when you get desperate. You don't try to sound cute when you get desperate. You can't get the Holy Ghost like this. I'm sorry, but if you're desperate, you don't care about shaking your hairdo down. When you're desperate, you don't care about wrinkling up your outfit. When you're desperate. When you get desperate. Shh, 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 shh. Here's how you need to treat your critics. When you get desperate enough for God to do something in your life, and people are smirking because it's just like the crowd rebuking you. See, y'all, some of us get intimidated by people criticizing us. So we lose our desperation because we're more desperate to have approval of people than we are to have our deliverance. But when folks start laughing at you, picking on you, criticizing you for reaching out to God, crying out to God, you just tell them, talk to the hand, because I ain't listening. If you want to be sick, stay sick. If you want to stay bound, stay bound. If you want to be deceived, stay deceived. If you want depression, you stay that way. But I'm desperate tonight. Ow! I'm desperate to be delivered. I'm desperate to be set free. The question is, everybody here has come for something. The question is, how bad do you want it? If you need healing, how bad do you want it? If you need deliverance, how bad do you want it? If you need restoration, how bad do you want it? If you want renewing, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Are you desperate? Make your way down to this altar. Step out of those pews. Lift up your hands and cry unto the Lord. Oh Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on my sickness. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Hallelujah. Now listen, Jesus, the Bible said, when the crowd told them to shush and to hold their peace, that Jesus, when they cried yet the more, that Jesus stood still. He went from passing by. Are you hearing me now? He went from passing by to standing still. I want you to know your cry will get the attention of God. I said your praise will get the attention of God. Your reaching out will get the attention of God. Cry out, yeah! Have mercy. And when Jesus, give me just a second. Give me just 1 minute. I want to say this because it doesn't matter why you came. Everybody came for a different reason. But whatever that reason is, you need the mercy of God to get you where you need to go. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, that we might receive our sight. You might be saying, God, I need a healing in my body. God, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. God, I need to come out of this depression. But whatever it is, I want you to cry out right now, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Come on, begin to praise Him. Have mercy. 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 Come on, come on, come on. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, church. Come on, church. Everybody shouting unto the Lord. Hey! Hey! Yeah, 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 yeah. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Help! Have mercy. Come on, church. Come on, lift up your voice. Cry unto the Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Heal me. Deliver me. Change me. Renew me. Restore me. Renew me. Refresh me. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, God. Yes, right, church. That's right. Hey, hey. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, God. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Yeah. Yeah! Hey, hey! hey, 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 yeah. Come on, I feel the healer. I feel the deliverer. I feel the peacemaker. I feel the sanctifier. I feel the joy giver. The live giver of life. The giver of hope. The giver of help. Hey, he's in the house. He's in the house. He's in the house. Yeah. 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 Oh, yes. 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 Hallelujah. Come on, brother. That's right. 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 That's right, young lady. That's right. That's right, my sister. That's right. Hey. Hey. Woo. Come on, lady. Come on over here. Yeah! 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 Holy Ghost! The Holy Ghost! Yes! 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 Come on, church. Come on, let's stay in that attitude of praise and prayer. Let's stay right there. The Holy Ghost is moving.
Go, 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 go. Wait, go. Go, go, go. Hey, go. Go! Go! Hey, go! 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 Yeah! Go! Yeah! Go! Yeah! Go! Yeah! Go! Hey, go! 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 Hey, go! 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 This back door! Hey, go! Go! Hey, go! Go! Go!
He wants to praise God.
Hey, dog. Oh, dog. 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 Hey, dog. 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 Dog.
Praise God, everybody. Let me do it now. Let me do it now. Let me do it now. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, he got the Pentecostal fever, didn't he? Didn't want to let it go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Hey. Oh. Come on, clap your hands and praise him one more time. Brother, reach over and put your hands on a brother and pray for him. Sister, reach over and put your hands on somebody else and pray for them. Lift up your voice. Begin crying out loud, Lord, have mercy on us. On us. Come on, pray for the person next to you. Pray for their miracle. Pray for their deliverance. Pray for their healing. Pray for their growth.